Tonight, we're going to talk about the secret of Solomon and what made him who he was in the spirit. And of course, I'll tell you right up front, he got a lot of it from David. His daddy taught him a whole lot. He inherited his daddy's fortune. His daddy was very rich. But what made him so great and where he received that governmental mantle on his life, he asked for wisdom, but more importantly, he knew where wisdom was, and he knew how to find wisdom. And if you're going to ask for wisdom, you're going to have to know the place wisdom dwells. Wisdom that he received was not knowledge. It incorporated knowledge, but it's not the kind of wisdom you get when you're real intellectually savvy. That's not the kind of wisdom of the Lord. That's just knowledge. That's understanding of things. A wisdom is a person. And it's also a place. I want to share something with you I saw out of Psalms 132. All the Psalms, when you understand the right hand of God, a lot of them will come alive. We did Psalms 45 where the bride stood with him in the right hand, which is amazing. We did that last Sunday. We were getting a lot of calls on that already. So Psalms 132, look at verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. Now, you got to know from Psalms 110, Zion is the place where God's throne is, and it's also the place where the right hand of God is. And it's also the place of perfection. It's the secret place of the Most High. All that is spiritual Zion. And he said he's chosen Zion, and he hath desired it for his habitation. He said, this is my rest forever. Everyone say forever. That's the same rest that you're called to enter into in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, where he forever sat down at the right hand of God, and he said, this is my rest forever at Zion. And here will I dwell, for I have desired it. That is a spiritual place. It's a very real place. You have access to it. The word of God defines your access. Verse 15, now notice this is the fruit of Zion. The fruit of the right hand of God, this fruit of the secret place of the Most High. And it says, I will abundantly bless her provision. Booyah. Amen. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There's joy. There's pleasure forevermore. Thou wilt show unto me the path of life, Psalms 16. Thou wilt show unto me the path of life at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's a lot of pleasure in the right hand of God. There's a lot of things in the right hand. Notice this. Look at this, verse 17. Very important verse here. There. Say there. Where? Where's there? Where? Where there is. Where there is. Where there is. There, that place called there, Zion, the right hand of God, Zion, there, in the right hand of God. Notice what happens here. It's not my message. I'm just warming up. I will make the horn of David to bud. The horn of David was the authority, especially the kingly anointing he walked in. The kingly anointing buds in the right hand of God. Buds. So does the priesthood. That was Christine that brought that out. She saw, because in the Ark of Covenant, and the Ark was in Zion, because David brought it to Zion, and Jesus brought it up into the heaven. But it had Aaron's rod that budded. And Aaron's rod was a priestly rod. And here, David's horn, especially the kingly anointing, the authority's budding. So you have the kingly anointing budding, and the priestly anointing budding. Notice where they bud in the right hand of God, or in Zion, in this position that God's given us. There's a budding effect. There's a release of multiplication. There's a release of increase, and things begin to bud there. Now, right now, where God's had us is simply understanding that that place is very real and learning to access that place. But in the future, things will start budding from that place. We will bring that back in the kingly anointing. The priestly anointing will begin to bud. The kingly anointing, that marketplace ministry in you, will bud in the midst of a recession. You will be budding. So look at this. I will make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. There's a lamp. I have never experienced revelation like I have when I entered into the right hand of God. The revelation, you don't have to sit very long. The lamp is released there. It's amazing. Now look at this, verse 18. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. See, the crown flourishes. So you can walk around and say, Father, in thy right hand, let thy hand be upon this man of thy right hand. Psalms 80, I am a man of thy right hand, or a woman of thy right hand. Let thy hand be upon this man of thy right hand, Father. I think of my crown is flourishing in thy right hand. I think of my horn is budding in thy right hand. I thank you, Father, the priestly anointing of my life is budding. My rods are budding in thy right hand. I'm budding. You got to walk around and start talking like that. Amen? And start understanding that's the place where things are going to take off. That's why it's not been working for the church. The church has not been demonstrating because he sat down at the right hand of power. The power and authority is there too. And the church will eventually start demonstrating right out of the right hand of God. They'll bring that back here when they learn to access. And so we're on a really, really good course. Amen? A good pathway that the Lord has set for us. That will show unto us the path of life. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. All right. All right, turn to Proverbs 7. Some of this will be a bit of review, and then some of it will be very new. As you know the story, when Solomon found out he inherited the kingdom, he was chosen. He went up, I think it was Mount Gibeah, and he sacrificed 500 oxen to the Lord. But he asked for wisdom. He said, I don't know how to come in and go out. And God said, you've asked for a good thing here. And answering that wisdom, Solomon walked in a level of wisdom and understanding that really no king in the entire Old Testament ever touched. Not many people in the New Testament touched what he had. But we see something in the book of Proverbs, a level of understanding that he walked in, especially the realms of this jurisdiction. He understood the realm of the second heaven, and he also understood the realm of the third heaven. I venture to say that David knew it very well. David was operating in accounted righteousness. He knew how to ascend into a place that didn't even belong to him. It belonged to our dispensation, but he received it because he saw it from afar, and he operated in it. And he no doubt shared a lot of this with Solomon, which was a secret of his success, is he could hide himself under the shadow of the Almighty. He knew how to find God. And Solomon also had great understanding of the different realms. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to compare it to Ephesians. It compares line upon line. It's very amazing. Let's drop in to chapter 7. We'll look at 7, 8, and 9. 7, 8, and 9 are very unusual chapters in the book of Proverbs. They're very prophetic. I've taught them three or four different ways over the last 14 years. The first level, the basic level of revelation, is dealing with a harlot, a natural prostitute. But that is not the depth of Proverbs 7, 8, and 9 by any means. Solomon understood a spiritual dimension of the demonic government, you could say that, of this world system. He understood it, and he understood a leader over it is a woman, and he called her a harlot. And he understood wisdom also reigned over a spiritual government. He gets into this. So let's dive in. I'm gonna release it in its time. Amen? All right, Proverbs 7. Let's drop in right at verse 1. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister in understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words, for at the window of my house. So this is wisdom directly speaking. I want you to underline my house. Wisdom's house is referenced in chapter 8 and chapter 9. When you read this, I want you to read it with the understanding of government or kingdom. From the window of my kingdom, she's looking at another kingdom. She's looking at the kingdom of the harlot. And she says, I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. That represents the church that has not grown up, that is not fully developed, and does not understand the ways of the enemy. This whole chapter is how the harlot's domain, or her kingdom, is wrapped around, lieth in wait at every corner of our life, whether we know it or not. Whether you have eyes to see it, you walk out these doors. The harlot's kingdom is very well intact. She's always trying to ensnare you. How many of you dropped off into a pit and you didn't even know it was a pit? You dropped off in some hole, you're going along real good with the Lord, and all of a sudden you find yourself in this season, you don't even know what your name is anymore. And you're like, where was I? I was on the top of the mountain over here, and all of a sudden I'm in the middle of all this warfare. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I'm confused. And you fell into a pit, but you don't know it was a pit because you can't see those pits with the natural eye. You don't see that. You can only discern them by the spiritual eye, but there's always traps that are laid. And it talks about the harlots or the demonic kingdom that's signed against you. And how that kingdom is sent to try to destroy you. You will watch this as chapter 7 unfolds. He says, passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. That was his first mistake. Now, sometimes you're going to fall into traps. You don't even know they're traps. And then there's the obvious traps that you just get into. But there are traps you don't even know they are, just because of our lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed of lack of knowledge. We can't see properly. Our discernment in the spirit has not been properly developed. We fall off into traps. But this one, this trap, he went the way to her house. He knew where he was going. So he's messing around in areas he ain't supposed to be messing around in. It's amazing how the enemy will do. He'll cause us to mess around in areas we're not supposed to mess around in. Somehow we think we're going to get away with it. It always comes back to bite you. You can ask some of the recent big ones that have fallen hard. Do you think that they actually thought they were going to be exposed by national media? They lived in that so long and they stayed anointed that they said, well, hey, I'm getting away with this year after year after year, preying on young boys. And your message to the body of Christ was to be a father. And yet he's preying on young boys and all of a sudden, you don't know. You think that he'd think for a minute he would have stayed that if he knew the media was going to expose all that. But they think for some reason they can hide it and get away with it, and you can't. It's snared. But see, God in his mercy gives you a lot of time, even when you're in trouble. God is not near judgmental as people make him. But you're not going to stand there in front of the body of Christ year after year after year with sin like that and don't think that that's not going to come to the surface. You can't live in her house year after year and think that that will not come into exposure of God's light. It will. He said he went the way to her house in the twilight. She lives in the twilight. That's the gray area. She lives in the evening and she lives in the black and dark night. She lives and possesses all of them. It's the gray areas that get us in trouble. Amen. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She'll approach you subtly. Now, here's one facet of her nature. Now, you remember, while we're talking about her for a moment, I want you to go over to Ephesians just for a second. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Paul sees it like this. It says, you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, you can put system there, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So here he calls him the prince. He controls the world system. He controls the second heaven. And he controls a whole lot of this jurisdiction too, because there's a curse operating in the world. We are not subject to that curse, but those that are under that curse, he controls. He blinds their understanding. He controls the atmosphere. All right? Now go to chapter 6, and it talks about his government. Chapter 2 talked about the leader. He was the prince of the power of the air. But here is his government identified, which Solomon sees this government, but he describes that government as a harlot with a kingdom, and she rules over that kingdom. How do you know? Because he's going to talk about wisdom's kingdom right after it. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the one he talked about in chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, and here's his government. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some people like to wrestle with flesh and blood. Every once in a while, I'd like to wrestle in flesh and blood. But against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's at least four levels mentioned here. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That high places is heavenly places. Now she has a domain. She rules, or the prince of the power of the air rules the second heaven, and he rules this earthly jurisdiction. He's the God of this world system, the Bible calls him. All right, Solomon understood this. All right, now go back over to Proverbs. So passing through the street, Proverbs 7 and 8, near her corner, he went the way to her house, her kingdom. She is everywhere. But so is God. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, she's especially in the darkness. She likes to meet you in the twilight. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. Now, here's a facet, verse 11. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is not content until she gets you in her house. Her feet are abide not in her house, and she's stubborn. The enemy will come at you with tenacity. He'll come at you. He's stubborn. There's one thing about him. He has no quitting sense. Now is she without, verse 12, now in the street, her kingdom is set into this world system. She lieth in wait at every corner. That's the way it is. You're not going to defeat her living in her domain. She owns it. But she has no access to your domain because he owns it. Booyah. She caught him and kissed him, and with impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings. This day I have paid my vows. She'll offer you religion? That'll deny the power of God. You don't think she'll offer you religion? She sits in the pinnacle of religion. Has for a very long time. What is she there for? To keep you from the true. To keep you from chapter 8. To keep you from chapter 9. Of peace offerings. Therefore, I came to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. You, whether you know it or not, your enemy's after you. Diligently. What he wants more than anything is to neutralize you. So if you're hungry, he wants to neutralize your operation to get you to beat the air and be ineffective. More importantly, keep you from your inheritance in the right hand of God or in the top of the high places, which we'll see in a minute. Verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, fine linen. She can't force it out of you with adversity and affliction. She'll come by force. If that doesn't work, she'll ask you to get in bed with her. Get in bed with a world system. It's a beautiful system. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Listen. If the world system wasn't tempting, you wouldn't be in it. It wouldn't tempt you. There are temptations about the world system. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Always know if you're going to get in bed with the harlot, with a god of this world system, it's only going to last for the morning. You're going to get a night of pleasure. You get that? You're going to get a season of pleasure. And then, time to pay the price. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield With the flattening of her lips, she forced him. She's good. You don't even know. Listen to this. You don't even know that she's talking. Let's take our fill in the morning. With much fair speech, she calls him to yield. And the flattening of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. It's the fool to the correction of the stocks. Look at verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Say decline. You got to decline. Go not astray into her paths. She's cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. By her system. Her house, her kingdom is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. Now, the good part. Wisdom jumps in. She jumps in. Proverbs chapter 8. She says, I know what the harlot's offering you. I know the seductress. I know the temptress. I know she's trying to force you. I know that she lies in wait at every corner, but look what I'll give you. And Solomon knew. He saw the two systems. He saw the two kingdoms. He saw them overseen by women. Praise God. Proverbs 8, 1. Listen to this. Does not wisdom cry? Does not understanding put forth her voice? Now notice where she lives. Very huge. Everyone say huge. Verse 2. She standeth in, you want to underline, the top of the high places. Now the harlot lives in the high places. How do you know that? I'll show it to you in a minute. Her kingdom is set in the high places. Wisdom's set in the top of the high places. Where is the devil's government set? Prince of the power of the air. There's a full government. There's an administration there, and there's a kingdom. Right? And wisdom begins to expound. She said, I'll tell you what I'll give you. Let me show you who I am. I just showed you who she is. I looked through my kingdom, the lens of my kingdom. I saw hers, but she's below me. Solomon understood that wisdom lived in a very high place. He understood how to come into her house. She has a house. She has a kingdom. He identified it in the spirit. He knew how to come into her house, and that's where he received that government anointing. He received all. I mean, the man was a preacher. He was a poet. He was a businessman. He had 1,000 wives. He needed wisdom. Look at verse 2. She standeth in the top of the high places. Very important you understand she's in the top. If you want to see where the harlot sits, go to Proverbs 9, verse 13. A foolish woman, the one he's been talking about for the last three chapters, is clamorous. She's simple. She knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house, of her kingdom, on a seat in the high places of the city. You see that? She sits in the high places. Guess where wisdom sits? In the top. Now see, Solomon understood those governments. He understood those realms. He understood he had to get through and sit down in wisdom's house. Now look at wisdom. Let's go back to chapter 8 for a minute. And let's look at what wisdom gives you. Look at verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. All things that you may be desired are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of witty inventions coming down the pipe from people who start entering into where wisdom lives. The reason why we're not receiving the witty inventions is we're wanting God to bring them down to us, and God's wanting us to come up to where wisdom lives, and witty inventions are going to start getting imparted at a phenomenal pace. Amen. One witty invention will change your life. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, the evil way. Verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and understanding. By me, princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, nobles and the judges of the earth. There is a place we enter in access that we receive of wisdom and understanding and knowledge to administrate. How many of you ever asked for wisdom at least 100 times? Raise your hand. Why are we not demonstrating wisdom if we've asked 100 times? Because I'm just now, after all these years, realizing where wisdom lives. You got to go to where she is. Now she extends an invitation to you. This is beautiful. Proverbs 8. Now, from verse 22 through verse 29, wisdom speaks of being with the Lord in creation. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Verse 22. He talks about being together with the Lord in creation. Now notice this right here. Verse 30. When I was by him as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Wow. Who's him? We know Jesus created the earth. We know that. He was the creator. By him were all things made. Without him, there was nothing made. But his wisdom was with him, rejoicing. Daily his delight. They're in fellowship together. In chapter 1, wisdom said she'd pour out her words like she was God or something. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. I'm like in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in wisdom. Is there somebody else up there that we didn't know about? Solomon just saw the third person of the Godhead as a person. I believe he references the Holy Spirit as wisdom, and he just sees that, or however the Holy Spirit revealed himself. But he saw the administration because the Holy Spirit delights in the sons of men. That's where his ministry is. But he sees the kingdom in the form of wisdom. He calls it wisdom. But we know they're together in creation. When Jesus was creating the earth, wisdom was right there by his side, so I'll let you figure that out. Just thought I'd throw that out there to you. Now, notice here in verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me. Now, see, she's extending this invitation. She said, listen, the heart will just take it from you by force. But I invite you to my house. Look at this again. We see God inviting us up. He invites us to his house. She sitteth in the top of the high places, so we know her house is high. Her kingdom is high. But she's inviting us here. There's an invitation extended to come up and fellowship. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. Her gates are in the top of the high places. Waiting at the post of my doors, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Whoso sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. Now, this is an amazing chapter here. Chapter 9 culminates all of this. All right? So chapter 9, look at this. Wisdom hath builded her house. She's shewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens. And look at this. Very important. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. She stands in the top of the high places and she cries from the highest place, meaning her position, her house, her government, her kingdom is above the harlot. But they extend the exact same invitation, both of them, verbatim, word for word. Did you know that? They extend the exact same invitation. Everyone say, booyah. Proverbs 9. Now look at this invitation here. All right. Verse 3. She sent forth her maidens, that be angels. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Look at verse 4. Very important. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I've mingled. The bread is manna, revelation. The wine is life, spirit, and everything else there. And it's in the highest places of the city. Now notice that invitation. Whoso simple, let him turn in hither. Are you ready? Drop down. Verse 13. The foolish woman, which is clamorous, she's simple. She knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house. See the two houses? The two kingdoms, the two governments? On a seat in the high places of the city. So verse 14 describes the harlot's house as the high places of the city. Verse 3, put your finger in verse 3. Put your finger in verse 14. She sent forth her matings, verse 3. Wisdom crieth upon the highest places of the city. This is huge that you know this. If you don't know where she is, you can't go into her house. Verse 14, the harlot sitteth at the door of her house. She sits on a seat in the high places of the city. She's in the high places. The prince of the power of the air. He's in the second heaven. He has a government. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness. They're all there. They're set. And they also govern over this world system. But they're only in the high places. They're not in the top of the high places. Now notice the invitation here. Look at verse 4. Here's wisdom's invitation. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. Look at verse 16, the harlot's invitation. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. They both are offering the same invitation. One, she's counterfeiting. Promise you everything. And destroy your life in the process. Wisdom will promise you everything if you find her. My price is far above rubies. If she was laying around within this jurisdiction, we would all found her by now. She's not in this jurisdiction. You're not going to find that kind of wisdom. She's going to come to you in relationship. Not this knowledge. She's going to add herself to you as a wife in Proverbs 31 if you really find the marriage with her. She's going to help you. The other one is going to promise you everything and leave you broken, disgusted, and busted. Probably not in that order. Okay, look at the invitation. We saw the invitation verbatim, right? Okay, verse 5. Look at verse 5. Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mingled. Okay, that's what she wants. Where does she say come? Notice she didn't bring the bread to you. Notice she didn't bring her wine to you. She asked you to come to her house. She asked you to make the journey to the top of the high places. That's what Solomon knew how to do. He knew how to venture into her government, into her kingdom. And because of that, he received that kingdom. He received the fullness of that. Notice what the harlot will offer you. Verse 16, who is so simple, let him turn in hither, is him the one of understanding. She saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. Come drink of the stolen waters. Ooh, they're sweet. You'll like them. Stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Notice she does everything in darkness. You live in darkness, you never get away with it. Only think you will. She'll offer you to eat the bread in darkness, though. She'll give you bread, too. You're going to pay for it later as the fool goes to the correction of the stocks. So you see the two levels, top of the high places and high places. Now we know in Ephesians 2 and chapter 6 that the enemy is the prince of the power of the air, right? In chapter 6, it describes the whole government. And we know wisdom's house, again, look at this, very important. Look at verse 3, chapter 9, 3. She sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Where does she live? Chapter 8, verse 2. She stands in the top. This is huge. Of the high places. Go over now to Ephesians, chapter 1. Let's see where we sit with wisdom. Now, he describes in chapter 2, go to chapter 2 for a minute. Chapter 2 says, you have he quickened who were dead past in trespasses, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that's an operation that we were exposed to at birth. But notice what he did with us. You should know this by now, but if you don't, you're going to see it. Go to Ephesians 1. Now, where was wisdom? She was in the top of the high place. Where was her goodies? In her house? In the top of the high places? Where are you blessed? Verse 3, your Father blesses you with all spiritual blessing. That's the bread and the wine of wisdom's table. She's killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. She's spread a buffet table for you in the top of the high places. You keep wanting her to bring that buffet to you here. It doesn't work that way. She says, come to me where I am in the top of the high places. I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We must learn to make our journey. To create the access. It'll get so simple after a while. You just walk in. There's no ascending. There's no climbing the mountain. But when you're first starting, you got to climb, ascend. You got to do all that. It's your faith that ventures in. You eat from that place by faith. You're not going to sit there and just eat by faith forever. You're going to experience tangible reality. Tangible blessing. He wouldn't tell you he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places if he didn't want to give you access to it. Solomon knew how to access wisdom's house. It's what made him so great. That was his secret. He knew where she was, and he also knew where the demonic government was. He knew how to escape the harlot until he got exposed. Even Solomon fell. He just visited her house one too many times. It took the whole kingdom down. But before that, he knew how to come in to the threshold of wisdom's house. I've been seeing this for years, but now I know where she lives. I see it here. Her benefits of her table is the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's what she's offering you. Now, let's see where she's seated, where he's seated, where they are seated. I know you've seen this, but I want you to see this in correlation to Proverbs. It's this imagery gets into your spirit, and it's this imagery your faith will employ to release into the kingdom of God. All right? Ephesians 17 says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory is, his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Verse 20, very important. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where wisdom's domain is, the top of the high places is where he got set. Set him right there in wisdom's house. The verse you want is verse 21. There's a huge gulf between the second and third heaven. This is the one that makes the difference in your warfare. Far above. Everyone say, far above. Principalities. This is the chapter 6 principalities. Powers, mights, dominions, every name that is named in this world, not only that to come. That far above position you've been given access to. Ephesians 2:6. He hath raised us up together. He just escorted us into wisdom's house in our dispensation. He escorted us the day we were born again. Quickened together, raised together, made to sit together with him in the top of the high places. At his own right hand, far above the second heaven, far above the prince of power of the air. That is huge when you learn to get there. When you learn to move into that dimension. You can escape the enemy's assignments against you. I don't care how fierce it is. You can sit here and get beaten for the rest of your life. He won't stop. You ever tried to lay down in the middle of a war? He doesn't stop. He just keeps going at you. You ever try to quit, run? Oh, that's futile. You ever try to run in the middle of a war? That's the spirit of burning. You ever got the spirit of burning on you? You run, you're just burning. Everything's burning. Jonah tried to run. You can't run. There's nowhere to go. It's miserable beyond misery. Everyone should have felt that one time in their life. Running. And then facing it. I'm like, where do I go? These things won't leave me alone. Yes, I know you're born again. I know you got authority over them, but your authority is released when you're above them, not right in the middle of them. They're going to attack you in your humanity. And God is going to raise you up in your sonship. Yesterday was not a good day for me. And try to carry over to today. And I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Miracles still happen. And God, I went out there and got it right. The Lord says, you cannot defeat this enemy outside of being here. I mean, I'm learning it. And I went back in this afternoon. And I got up in there. It was glorious. The one thing I want to get over to you about that is I was able to get above the enemy. I didn't feel him. I hadn't felt him since. If he's still around, I don't know it, because I come out with armor. When I come out of the right hand, I was armored. And if he was fighting me, he's going to fight that armor now, because I don't even know he's there. Circumstance hadn't changed, but I have. I got above him. If you've never experienced the thrill of rising above your enemy, it's why he hates this place with a passion. He just assumes you just get up and walk out. Why? Because he can keep you checkmated. He don't teach you how to get up above him. He'd rather you sit in here and be exposed to his warfare all your life and fight him in his dimension. He'll whip you all your life. You can bind him, shout at him, scream at him, and learn all the ways. You can bind him to the fifth degree, fourth degree, third degree. Bind you in the name. What's your name, boy? You can do all that. Or you can get up there above where the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. He upholdeth you in his right hand. When he upholds you, he makes your feet like hinds feet, and he sets you up on the high places, and you get clothed in heaven. See, God seeketh such to worship him. When you understand what that means, you think God was up there just pining after somebody to come up there like he actually needs. He was pining after a new breed of people that could go to a place the first ones couldn't go. That's what he was after. He was after a new order of things. He wanted to be with you. He got what he wanted. Son made that happen. You sitteth with him in the top of the high places. In reality, all he's asking you is believe on the Son. If you believe on who I am and my mission, for why I came to bring you to the Father, then you'll get there. I'll bring you to him. And I'll set you far above. That's not just a position. That's a reality. When you learn to enter in, your enemies, they get stopped out right at the second heaven. They keep following, and it's kabam. The hammer hits them and say, what was that? They can't go there. They have no access, but you do. And it infuriates them because they've been beating up on you all your life. And they can't go there. And you slip right up in there. The warfare ended right there. I didn't have to walk around and bind him for 3 hours. All I had to do is just get above him. But I've learned to ascend. And I've learned to step in to the kingdom. Because my spirit man belongs to the kingdom. I am a citizen. I am a son. I am an heir. And I know how to access. And I employ it by faith. And what he has said, and I moved through those jurisdictions. This earth is a jurisdiction. The second heaven's a jurisdiction. And I learned to move in, and when I got in, the peace that passeth all, the glory, the love, the beauty of the right hand, the pleasure forevermore. Just get caught up. I come out of there. I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm like, I could have been here yesterday, but I didn't choose. I let the enemy just ramrod me. I let him ramrod me. He didn't have the authority to ramrod me if I'm there. He has the authority to ramrod me if I'm here. When you caught up, you don't live there 24 hours a day. You understand that you come back here, but you come back with something. I don't want you thinking if I'm not there 23 hours and 45 minutes a day, then the enemy's going to get access to me. No, you don't have to spend very much time there. It's so glorious, you'll bring it all back with you. You'll be clothed in it. And the enemy, he tries to pierce that clothing. He said, I'll clothe their priest with salvation. I'll make your horn to bud there. And he bring it back, and all of a sudden you're walking in a new newness. You're walking in a brand new life, strength. You feel good. I'm like, I have life. That realm was imparted. The life of that realm was imparted. My spirit got to eat. When you learn to eat from that place, this realm simply will not do. There's nothing to eat here anymore. So you gotta learn to get there. This was David's great secret. He passed it to Solomon. Solomon knew. He spent his time there. And that's what God gave him when he asked for wisdom. He just didn't make him intellectually bright. He taught him how to move into the dimension of wisdom south. He lived in that glory and he brought it back. And that manifested glory filled the earth, and the kings of the earth and the peoples of the earth wanted to come and see what was going on, because he brought heaven to earth. Because he learned where she was, he identified. He learned to access through that identification. You access by what you see. If you don't see that in the Word, you don't know where you're going. You're just waiting on God to come. Well, he'll just show up one day. Man, that is a hard way to walk with God, waiting on him to show up. I'd rather just know that I'm going there, amen? I'd rather know, have a promise I can go at any time. As you come in there, the more and more we access corporately, we're going to receive as a body his fullness and bring it and express it into the earth. Not far off, he'll begin the demonstration process. He's not going to have us preach this message all our days here without backing it with power. Everybody that preached it, from the sons to the apostles, they were backed with great power, great authority, and great demonstration that went beyond the realm of the gifts. It was demonstration coming out of the heavenlies that all men would know this is what he's saying to the world. Amen? Everyone say, I am seated far above principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness. I am seated in heavenly places, in the top of the high places, far above. I've been raised together. I am raised together. We've been made to sit together. Father, thank you that you bless us with wisdom's table, that we can come and eat. We can come and dine and respond to that invitation to come and drink of your wine, the life, to eat of the manna that you have prepared for us, that you bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that we are partakers of the heavenly calling, that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We partake of that kingdom. We receive of that kingdom. We partake of it. And Father, we say, let our horn bud. We say, let our crowns flourish. Let the priestly rods bud. Let the horn, the kingly anointing, bud. Let the crown flourish. Let everything we set our hands to do flourish. Let the demonstrations of the right hand fill the earth, Father. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Let us walk in divine favor. For our inheritance is built upon the foundations of your right hand and arm, the light of your countenance and your favor upon our life. Amen.